Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, your home for all things Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and so much more. Join Derek, Trent, and Ian as they tell tales to astonish along this journey into mystery. So grab some snacks and settle in because Paperweight Entertainment starts now. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast. This is your host, Derek Hoskins. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the latest episode of The Bad Batch. We're going to dive into some news, and we're going to do a full series review for MODOK on Hulu. With me tonight is Mr. Ian Torrance. Ian, how you doing?
Fantastic, sir. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Now, tonight, we do not have Trent with us. He took a much-needed day off, but we have a special treat, and we have Mr. Ian Wells joining us. Ian, how you doing?
I'm good. Happy to be here on a Friday night.
We are happy to have you. All right, let's dive right into it. We got some news to talk about. On the TV side, you know, we've been talking a lot about this Green Lantern show coming to HBO Max that personally I'm very, very excited about. You know, I've mentioned on here many times how much of a Green Lantern fan I am. And they just announced that they have hired a director for their first two episodes. And it is Lee Toland Krieger. And I'm sure you don't know that name. But for anybody with anybody that has watched Superman and Lois on the CW, he directed the pilot episode. Now, I'm pretty excited about it because Superman and Lois is actually a surprisingly great show. I really enjoy it. And the director for that first episode really sets the tone for the whole series. So I'm excited that it's somebody that I know, somebody that I've seen the work that he's done before, and that I can get excited about. So I know you guys aren't really as tuned into the Green Lantern show, but are you excited that they have a director? We're moving a little farther forward, Wells.
Absolutely. I'm very excited about the Green Lantern show. I like Superman and Lois too, so anybody that's involved with that makes me happy.
Yeah, Superman and Lois really surprised me. I didn't expect to like it as much as I did. It's excellent. Ian Torrance, are you do you care one way or the other about a director from Superman and Lois being on the Green Lantern show?
Nah, I mean, I'm happy for you because I know how much you want this. It's not that I don't care one way or another. I just I'm excited about the Green Lantern in general, as far as who's directing it, who's involved with it. I haven't followed much of it. Any of the news I hear is usually from you, which is much appreciated. I do appreciate you keeping me up to date on that. I have not watched the show that you're referring to yet. Is that another one of the? That's one of the CW shows.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so I have not watched any of that. I haven't watched a lot of any of those CW shows in a while. But if you guys say it's good, I'd be willing to go check it out. And I also don't want to check this out and judge like whether the Green Lantern thing is going to be good off of this, though.
Right.
I don't really think that'd be a fair assumption.
Yeah, Superman and Lois is different than the other CW shows, though, in the way that it's funded by HBO. So it has more of a cinematic quality to it.
Yeah, it does.
I was not that cheap CW feel.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, you know, I enjoyed the CW shows. I'm way behind. I haven't watched all of them. I'm like three seasons behind on Flash. I never finished the last season of Arrow. But I really like the guy that plays Superman in Supergirl. It's the same guy. Tyler Hoechlin is his name.
I did know that.
And I was a little nervous going into it because I didn't, even though I like him, I didn't love him in the Supergirl show because they were always kind of putting him down to make Supergirl look more powerful. And, you know, he's Superman. He's supposed to be, you know, the most powerful person on Earth. Right. And the Superman and Lois show is excellent. It's a really interesting blend of superhero, you know, action and like a family drama, because it's all about Superman and Lois raising these two teenage kids. And no matter how good of a superhero you are, how strong you are, you can lift a tank without batting an eye, but that doesn't make you a better parent. So it was a really good show. And the pilot episode was very cinematic. Cinematography was good. It was just really well done. So I'm excited for him to do these first two episodes of Green Lantern. And I'm really hoping that it's good. Really, really, really. I can't express how badly and how desperately I hope this is good. So fingers crossed, since it's on HBO, it's going to be awesome. But we'll move on to the next topic. So I'm not just going to sit here and mope about the fact that Green Lantern's been done so dirty by DC and Warner Brothers. Moving on, Army of the Dead. We talked about it last week. If you haven't listened to our podcast, our review of it, go check it out. Hear what Ian Wells had to say. He was on that one as well. Netflix just released the numbers for its first week, and it has been viewed 72 million times in the first week. And with that number, they're projecting it to be one of Netflix's most popular films of all time in just 4 weeks. So, you know, we all gave our thoughts on Army of the Dead, but Ian Torrance, are you surprised by the number, by how high of a number it is?
No, man, it had a lot of hype going in, as it should have. I mean, with that cast and the director and everything, like, obviously, like, it should have some hype to it. And people are going to check it out because of who's in it, what it's about, who directed it. And I think that the Snyder Cut really gave Zack Snyder some momentum. And ever since that, people have just been Team Snyder. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, obviously, if you didn't check out our podcast last week, our episode on that, go check that out, because we all have, you know, some mixed feelings. Nobody necessarily hated the movie. Everybody, I think, all around, I think all of our general consensus was we all liked it, but there were things that we kind of broke down and nitpicked, but there were things we really liked. So I think the fact that people are burning this up on Netflix is not surprising to me, because it's one of those things that, like, you watch it the first time and you think, okay, I know there's probably some stuff that I missed. I'm confused about this and that. I should probably go back and watch it. Now, I had the benefit of talking to you guys about it and you guys filling me in and me filling you guys in and so what and so forth. But some people don't have that. So they just go back and watch the show over and over again, or the movie, I should say. And that's cool. I'm happy for them. I'm glad it's doing well, and it's picking up the momentum they need for them to do the animated series and that prequel movie that they're talking about doing. So I'm interested to see where they go with it, and to see how far up the scale they can get on this, man. How many views they can get burned through.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really surprised that Netflix put out the number. You know, they usually don't. They don't put out a lot of information on the viewers that they have and how well a show or a movie does. But they've been so all in.
We're doing that well, you know, they got to kind of brag about that.
But they've been so all in on this movie from the beginning. I mean, before months before this came out, they announced they were doing the prequel. They were doing the sequel. They were doing the anime. They're talking about, I think they're doing a comic book. Mm. It's wild how much Netflix has really went all in on Zack Snyder. And I think you're right. I agree that the Snyder Cut probably really helped it a lot, because the Zack Snyder fans are pretty, pretty feverishly devoted to him. So Wells, what about you? Are you surprised by this number? Do you agree with us that the Snyder Cut helped it out a little bit?
I think he was too busy making fun of me mimicking.
I definitely was. Stop putting your pinky up like that.
I can't help it, man. When in doubt, pinky.
No, I do agree with you all, and I'm not surprised by the numbers. I think it'll continue to get higher as word of mouth spreads around. It's a hell of a promotion tool. And, you know, a lot of people just love zombie flicks, and it's a good action flick as well. So, no, I'm not surprised at all by the success that it's having so far.
Yeah, people love zombies, and which is surprising because, you know, at the height of Walking Dead's fame, people were talking about how the zombie genre was going downhill. But, man, it just keeps on plugging along, and all it takes is one thing to give it a boost, give a little boost there.
Yeah. And as we talked about in our review of it, this movie did a good job offering a lot of new stuff to the zombie genre.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. So definitely, if you guys haven't checked out our review, go back and check it out and hear our full thoughts on it. So we'll move on. We've got some casting news. First up, you know, nothing major. Disney Plus has got another Marvel show coming. It's going to be a Secret Invasion, and I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to focus more on Nick Fury. And for anybody that knows about Secret Invasion in the comic books, you know, it's very, very fun thriller type of idea where aliens, of course, Skrulls in the comics, have been infiltrating humanity for years and years and years without us knowing about it. And excuse me. It was a really fun comic. And so I can't wait to see it on the on Disney Plus and see how they go with it. But the news that came out just a couple of days ago is that Shooter McGavin himself, Christopher McDonald, was cast in a, quote, newly created character role, unquote. So, Wells, what do you think about Shooter McGavin being in the MCU?
I think I don't know who Shooter McGavin is.
Oh, for shame. Oh,
that's not true.
Yes, you do.
There's no way.
Happy Gilmore, man.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Wait a minute. He's the guy. Okay, I think I know who you're talking
about. He's the golf pro in Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, with the jacket that's a real dick.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Gold jacket, green jacket.
Hey, he'll make an excellent is he going to be like a SHIELD agent or something?
I don't know. They haven't said that. Like I said, the article, that was a quote that it's a newly created character. Now, whether that's newly created for the show or recently a newly created character from the comics that just recently came about, I don't know. I know that they had put out a casting call for actors in their between 50 and 60 to play an antagonist role. And he's a really good antagonist. He's a good villain. So, yeah. You know, more than likely we're looking at a villain of some kind, probably either a government official or it could be, you know, an alien. We'll see what happens. But Ian Torrance, bail us out here of this disappointment that Ian Wells didn't know who Shooter McGavin is.
I'm sorry.
Oh, man. He eats pieces of crap like you for breakfast, Wells.
I definitely know his name. But I just, his face, I guess I just didn't know his name.
Oh, man. Oh, great. You can count.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That really disappointed me for a second. I was like, there's no way you don't know who Shooter McGavin is. God.
It's all right, Wells. It happens, man. We sprung it on you. I didn't get to let you know ahead of time what we'd be talking about. That's on me. Not on you. Like, that's on me, not on you.
I was sitting here thinking, I hope he doesn't call on me first for this one, because
and then immediately, Wells, yeah, what are you doing? Shooter McGavin.
Well, Ian Torrance, man, what do you think? Are you excited about Christopher McDonald being in the MCU?
Yeah, I don't know if you. Yeah, well, I know you do watch these, but I don't know if you've seen all of them. The College Humor Batmans with Pete Holmes as Batman. Did you? There was one episode they did that had him in it. Did you see that?
I'm trying to remember which one he was in.
Patton Oswalt. He was Scarecrow. He sprays.
Oh yeah, I do remember that.
He had Scarecrow come in and spray him with the fear gas, and
I do remember
he hallucinates and he hallucinates Christopher McDonald for some reason. It was actually Christopher McDonald. Yeah,
I do remember that.
He was really funny in that. So yeah. I think he's very entertaining in anything he does.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited for it. I'm really interested to see who it is, and the fact that it's a newly created character. I just keep going back to that quote. I'm interested to see what it'll be, because Secret Invasion from the comics, you know, like I said, it's centered on the Skrulls, and the Skrulls so far in the MCU have not been villains. So I don't know what they're going to do with it, but it'll be interesting to see. We have one more topic of news before we get to our break here. And it's
Skrull.
What?
What's that?
I said Sharon Carter's a Skrull.
Oh, I don't know. I doubt it. I think she's just going all bad.
I feel like her character arc is too extreme of a change from where we saw her in Civil War to where she is now.
Great. I don't know. We'll see. Refer back to our season finale Falcon and Winter Soldier episode to know what we're talking about if you're confused. But like I was saying, the big news of the week is that Sony has cast their Kraven the Hunter for their Spider-Man spinoff movie, and surprise, surprise, it is Aaron Taylor Johnson. For those of you who don't know that name, to help out Ian Wells here, that is Quicksilver from Age of Ultron and Kick-Ass from Kick-Ass. So he's already been in a couple of comic book movies.
He was also Kick-Ass in Kick-Ass too.
He was also in Godzilla, where he played.
He was great in Godzilla.
He was great in Godzilla. It's too bad Godzilla didn't show up in that movie until 5 minutes left. But anyway. We're not going to get back. Refer back to our Godzilla versus Kong review.
There you go.
But yeah, so Aaron Taylor Johnson is cast as Kraven the Hunter. I have mixed feelings about this. I have to be honest. I really like Kraven the Hunter as a villain, but I really like him when he's fighting Spider-Man. This is one where, unlike Venom, I'm really having a hard time seeing what the story is going to be for him. Because, I mean, if he's just hunting animals in Africa somewhere or Asia, That doesn't sound overly exciting. You know, his whole thing is that he's hunting the spider, you know, the human spider. So I don't know. Also, Aaron Taylor Johnson does not look like Kraven the Hunter, in my opinion. He looks like he's way too young and small, but you know what? He's a good actor, so we'll see. Ian Torrance, I'm going to let you go first so that Ian Wells has a chance to think about who Aaron Taylor Johnson is before he has to answer.
Man, I know who Aaron Taylor Johnson is. I was going to
say. Hey, all right. But anyway, Ian Torrance, what do you think about Aaron Taylor Johnson as Kraven?
My God. I was wondering where you're going with that. I was like, this whole time, I was like, does he really not know who that is? but his facial expression the whole time just told the story. I like Aaron Taylor Johnson. Like I said, I like him in everything he's been in. I may be one of the few people, but I liked him as Quicksilver.
I thought he was great as Quicksilver.
I did too. I thought he got kind of a bad rep for that, but hey, I like the Kick-Ass movies. I loved him in Godzilla. Like you said, Godzilla may not have been in it the whole film. It was titled Godzilla, but when Aaron Taylor Johnson was in the movie, it was good. I thought he was good. So I'm excited about this. I understand what you're saying with the fact that you think he's too young, you don't think he can pull it off, but there have been plenty of people that I thought, there's no way. There's right. No way this is going to work. And not only does it work, but they knock it out of the park.
Right.
So... yeah, I'm interested to see what he does here and how they kind of dress him up. So that first set pick is going to be really interesting.
Right.
Do you think he's going to have like the crazy hair? Do you think it's going to be like a younger version of him? Or you think they're going to try to old him up a little bit and put like some gray in his beard and hair?
You know, he's not as young as he looks. Like he's not like a teenager.
I understand what you mean. He's got a young face.
He's just got a baby face.
Yeah.
And so I think that with some makeup.
Well, we got baby faces.
Now you've got a baby face.
No, stop it.
You've got a baby face. I've got more gray in my beard than my grandfather. Mm. I was going to go real morbid because all of my grandfathers.
No.
Anyway.
I was actually thinking that. I was like, wait a minute. Jeez, man.
I don't have any living grandfathers. Okay.
Can we get past this, please?
But yeah, I think that they could easily make him look a little older. And he can bulk up. You know, he's even though he's a littler guy, he can get pretty bulky.
He was a good size in Godzilla.
Yeah, he like I said, I'm having a hard time seeing him playing Kraven the Hunter. And I don't know, maybe. I'm sure he'll do great because he's a good actor. But, Wells, what do you think, man? You chime in here. What do you think about it?
I've liked him in everything I've seen him in. I'm definitely interested. I hope he'll do a good job with it. There was a couple of fan casting options that I was kind of hoping for myself that I saw more as Kraven the Hunter, like Pablo Schreiber. Or I thought maybe Kit Harington, but I know he's going to be in the Eternals. I thought maybe he'd make a good Kraven the Hunter. I don't know. Josh Brolin, that was another fan casting I thought would be interesting for Kraven, even though he's obviously in two other roles in Marvel. I was
gonna say he's already Cable and Thanos.
Yeah. Let's see. There was one other one that I thought was really good fan casting. Anyway.
Yeah, I think
I said Pablo Schreiber, right? Pablo Schreiber was probably my top pick.
Yeah.
He's got the physique and he's very intimidating on screen. I don't know if you all seen Den of Thieves.
I thought you said Papa Lee Schreiber, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Papa Lee Schreiber.
From Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, he would have to put on some muscle.
Pablo Schreiber?
Yeah.
Have you seen Den of Thieves?
No, that's what I'm saying.
He's huge in that movie.
I've only seen him in Orange is the New Black.
He makes Curtis 50 Cent Jackson look small in that movie.
Thank you for throwing in the 50 the Cent name. Part.
50 Cent Jackson.
It's 50.
Oh, my God.
Well, what do you think about Aaron Taylor Johnson? I mean, do you think that they're going to go, like what Ian was saying, do you think they're going to age him up a little bit? Do you think this is going to be maybe a younger Kraven?
No, I think they're probably going to want him to grow along with the movies. I don't think they'll age him up.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Not necessarily an origin story, but like a younger version of him.
Right.
Plus, if there's a chance that he does if there's a chance he does go against Tom Holland, Spider-Man eventually, he's going to look much older than Tom Holland anyways.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't know what's going to happen there because it all, I think it all hinges on Morbius of what's going to go on with these Sony movies as far as the MCU. Because Morbius is the one where we saw the poster of Spider-Man on the, in the alleyway, and then we saw Michael Keaton as Adrian Toomes at the end of that trailer. So I don't know. We'll see what happens and if they're going to be any kind of connection whatsoever. But I'm just really trying to wrap my head around what Kraven the Hunter has to do if Spider-Man's not involved. Because, you know, I said the same thing about Venom, and Venom worked for me. Same thing about Morbius, and Morbius looks cool. So I don't know. Maybe Sony will...
Maybe if there's no Spider-Man, he'll just, like, hunt Morbius or something.
Yeah, that's a fair point. They could always tie those together. He could hunt Venom, maybe.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. I wish I was more excited. When I saw the headline, I wasn't as excited as I would have hoped. You know, normally when there's a big casting announcement, I get kind of stoked about it. Like when Oscar Isaac was cast as Moon Knight, which, by the way, as an aside, even though he was cast as Moon Knight months ago and they've been releasing videos of him training for Moon Knight, Marvel finally officially announced him today as yesterday. Really? Marvel officially announced it, yesterday with a tweet from Oscar Isaac with some artwork in the background.
Paintings.
My brain stopped working all of a sudden. Pictures. Concept.
Marvel actors getting second chances in different movie roles.
Yeah, that's true, because Oscar Isaac was in Apocalypse, which I didn't think he was terrible as Apocalypse, but he just looked goofy as all get out. And they didn't let him do anything that Apocalypse does in the comics, so it wasn't
great. I'm just glad that the finished product didn't look like it did when they originally released the images where he looked like Ivan Ooze.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, God.
I was like, no, you can't do Apocalypse like this.
Yeah, he smelled teenagers. All right. On that note, we're going to take a little break. We're going to have a word from our sponsor, and we will be right back to talk about the Bad Batch and Marvel's MODOK. See you in a minute. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us through that ad break. We're going to go into the latest episode of The Bad Batch with our mission report. This is episode 4 of Bad Batch. Am I right? Am I wrong?
Episode five
of Bad Batch. Man, my weeks have gotten away from me. Either way, it's called Rampage, and it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. Had a surprise twist in it that I didn't expect, and I really am surprised every week at how much I enjoy this show, and at some point I'm going to stop being surprised by that. I'm just going to accept the fact that it's a good show, and that's just the way it is. But Ian Wells, did you like this episode?
Absolutely. I've loved every episode of it. I don't know. It just feels like it's a continuation of Clone Wars, so...
Yeah, it does.
I don't see how you can love Clone Wars and not love this show as well.
Yeah, that's true. Ian, did you get a chance to watch it?
I did.
What'd you think of it?
I liked it. I didn't think it was as fun and exhilarating and interesting as the episode before it.
Yeah.
Not that it didn't have action. I didn't care as much about the action as I did the last time around because of them introducing, Finnick.
Yeah.
Finnick.
Yeah, Finnick.
Then bringing Finnick into the show was a cool concept, and the whole story around that was neat. And I know they mentioned Finnick in this episode, but all around, like, I thought it was good, but it was...
What, you saying you didn't like Cid? You didn't like Cid, the creepy old Trandoshan woman that gives him information if you...
Cid was a
weird,
all right.
Weird character. It's a freaking weird character.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Yeah, I've got thoughts on her. Go ahead. Continue, Ian.
Just some thoughts on Cid.
I got some thoughts on Cid.
I thought, I thought it was a good episode. Not great as the last one. And It feel like for me, this season of the show, it has up and down moments. And that's not saying that the down part is a bad thing. It's just some episodes get me more hyped than others. The introduction of Moochie was very interesting.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. Ian Wells, what about you, man? Did you like the episode? Did I ask you already?
You did, but it's fine.
I thought so. Well, I was going to ask you a different question, and then I realized halfway through that I've already asked you that question.
I like all the episodes. Just like with the Star Wars movies, I always find something enjoyable in these episodes. So even if somebody says they don't feel like it was as good as another episode, I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah, the question I was actually going to ask.
I didn't enjoy anything, though.
Gotcha.
Right. But yeah, you can say that one episode's better than the other. It's just like I love the Clone Wars as a whole, but there are certain episodes that I'll always go back to. But Ian Wells, what I was going to ask you before my brain did diarrhea all over the freaking podcast here.
Oh, God.
Was what did you think about Cid? Did you like that character? Did you find her funny? Was she annoying to you? Because I have a feeling she's going to be a divisive character, kind of like Zero the Hutt.
Yeah, Cid's going to be definitely a problem in the future. Like, in that last scene that Cid was in when she was like, it's weird they'd send somebody like Fennec after you all. You seem pretty valuable.
Yeah.
And she's like, but don't worry, I can hold a secret. And I'm like, no, you can't. You're definitely going to sell them off to the first person that comes with the right price.
You could just tell.
Yeah.
Just by the way she said it and a little creepy look on her face.
Right.
I don't think she's much different from any of the other sleazeball characters you find in that area of Star Wars.
Yeah, she seems very much like it. The reason why I brought her up is because when they introduced her, I was very surprised by the character in general, because like Trandoshans as a species are not normally like short and fat, and I can't put my finger on what it is.
What are you trying to say, Derek?
Trandoshans, like Bossk is a Trandoshan, and so they're like warrior race. Think of like Predator from the Predator movies. That's basically what they are. Like their whole thing is the hunt. So why is this Trandoshan like hanging out in a bar, setting up mercenary missions? It just threw me off. It was very, very weird to me. But I mean, I didn't hate her by any means, but she did give me very much Zero the Hutt vibes. Ian, Zero the Hutt is a character from the Clone Wars that I really wish didn't exist, because he is a very odd character. That's a Hutt. He is Jabba's brother or nephew, something like that, or uncle.
The one that spoke with the high pitched voice.
Yeah, Zero the Hutt.
Yeah, right.
So he's a Hutt. You know, like Jabba the Hutt, which speak in Huttese, where they need a translator. Not Zero. Zero had like purple eyeliner and like feathers in his head. And he's talking like this. Zero the Hutt. It was the weirdest freaking character. And that's what Cid reminded me of. So, but other than that, that was really
that has now downside. Become my new favorite character.
Yeah, it's a weird character, man. Weird
it's
character.
It's like a weird Southern gentleman.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very, very strange thing going on there. But other than that,
is this like a second cousin then?
No, I think he's, I want to say he's uncle or a nephew. Somewhere around there, I can't remember. It's mentioned in the show, or it might even be the Clone Wars movie. I can't remember. Either way, Zero the Hutt's weird. Go back and watch Clone Wars, and when you do, you'll see him right away.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I really liked this episode. There were some things that I really got a kick out of. Wrecker's still showing the signs that there's something going on with that inhibitor chip. You know, still rubbing that side of his head. Still makes me think that, like we talked about, I think last week, that we're going to see him turn at some point. Also, Omega. I can't believe how much I like Omega, and that they seem like they are fixing the problem that Ahsoka had at the beginning of the show. Because at the beginning of the Clone Wars, Ahsoka was not the beloved character she is now. She was a really obnoxious, bratty character that was really hard to watch and really annoying to listen to. And Omega, I haven't felt that way at all. I didn't think she's over like a snippy, annoying, little cocky brat. She seems interested and she's excited to be there. So yeah, I really like Omega, and I'm enjoying her every episode. I keep waiting for her to annoy me, but she just hadn't done it yet.
What an interesting, I just looked up Zero that. What an interesting looking character.
Yeah, Zero. Zero's a weird character.
Don't underestimate him, though. He's quite a problem throughout the Clone Wars.
He is a problem, but I don't understand the thought that, okay, well, every Hutt that you've ever seen speaks Huttese, but we're going to let this one sound like he's sipping iced tea down in Savannah, out in sitting out on his front porch in a rocker.
That's a very good description of him.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
I want to meet this fella.
Yeah, I know. Ian, how are you liking Omega? You don't have that comparison with early Ahsoka. So what are you thinking about Omega so far? Is she hitting it off with you, or are you annoyed with her? Are you attracted to the young clone?
Oh my god, you would take it there.
I saw your face. as I said Omega, your eyes lit up. You got all excited. No,
that was confusion because you were like, how did you just, did you hit it off with her? And I was like, no.
Did she tickle your fancy?
Anyway, you were a disturbed man. So Omega for me is a decent character, since I don't know anything, any mention from the Clone Wars or anything like that, but I think it's so funny that they're constantly treating her like a child, but she's always bailing them out of something,
right?
And she just like, she's like the hero of the group every episode. It feels like every time like they need something, Omega comes in clutch every week. And yeah, she may get captured here or there, but like for the most part, like she's been the it factor that they need. And just like with releasing that creature and having the creature come out and, you know, do the distraction or whatever, then I find out that creature is actually
Moochie
that they've been searching for.
Moochie. Yeah, Moochie surprised me, because I didn't expect to see a Rancor. And I'm not gonna lie, at the end of the episode where Sid's client comes in asking for Moochie and it's Bib Fortuna, my mouth hit the floor. Like, my jaw dropped when I found out who that freaking Rancor is, that's Jabba's Rancor.
Because you think it's the same one Luke Skywalker killed?
I guarantee you it's the same one, because it's an adolescent. So that means that it's not a full-grown Rancor. So there's no way that he had time to grow up two Rancors in that amount of time. He would have used both to kill Luke. And there was that's only one sad. There. It is sad.
Because I like Moochie now.
Because I like Moochie.
Yeah.
They keep... I'll tell you what, man. They've been doing this recently, because they did a book called Aftermath. It was a trilogy. It takes place right after Return of the Jedi. And this is after Disney took over and Legends and everything. And so they did this new book series called Aftermath. And they did these little interludes in between chapters. One of them was all about Malakili, the Rancor Keeper. And like how he was wandering the wastelands of Tatooine because he was so depressed because his Rancor died. And it's like his one life goal was to raise up this Rancor. And it's like they're doing everything they can to make Luke look like a villain for killing this Rancor. So I don't know. I think it's funny that they keep bringing that Rancor back and trying to make you love it. They want you to love that poor creature.
They did it this time.
They did, because Moochie was awesome. I was so excited. I felt like I was watching Godzilla versus Kong when he was tearing into that dragon.
I thought you were going to say when he was fighting with Wrecker.
No, the Wrecker fight was great. And I loved it. I love by the end of it, Wrecker's just slowly swinging at him, barely awake. And then the next time you see Moochie, Omega's riding on him like a horse.
Yeah. I thought something froze up there for a second.
Somebody, anybody? Ian looks like he's about to fall asleep over there.
I'm mesmerized by the facial expressions that Wells is making over here. And then like every now and again you'll talk and then he'll just have this blue light coming to focus. And then when I like look down, like, what the hell is that? He's looking at me like
this. Your facial expressions on his reacting face. My facial expressions are killing me too. I can tell you're trying to figure out what that light was.
I was so confused. I've been hearing like an alien spacecraft hovering above your house for the past half hour. 45 minutes. And then that blue light comes on and I'm like, they're taking him. They're taking him during this podcast.
Oh, man.
Do you want to explain? Or
that's how we get down on the dark side, man. It's mysterious.
Oh, my God. I don't know. You're either in or you're not. That.
That's right.
When you say get down on the dark side,
you got to be in our circle to understand.
Oh, good Lord. All right. We're gonna go on.
So, don't you all feel like each episode we get more like hints towards the fact that Omega's probably force sensitive?
Yeah, they seem to be pushing it that way. I'm not sure that I buy it yet.
Why was she the only one that was able to pick out Sid in the bar? Nobody knew what Sid looked like, but she walked right up to her.
Because I think that what they're doing is trying to make us think that she's force sensitive. And I don't know that they are going to say that this early in the Empire that Palpatine was able to clone somebody to be force sensitive. Because I feel like if they were able to do it that early on, he would have been set much earlier than he was, and he would have been able to have a clone body and a younger body and all that. So I don't know that I buy that she's force sensitive. I think that they're trying to make us think that, but what I think is going on is I think that she's got all of the Bad Batch's skills, all of their special, like their special training, their specialties. I think she's got it all rolled into one, because she was able to shoot Crosshair's gun out of his hand the first time. True. She's able to track like Hunter was on that planet where there was no light. And then she had the perception and the logic like tech to figure out what was actually going on. And so I think that they're using that to make us think that she's force sensitive, because I think that that's what they want us to think. And they know that we're going to speculate, and more than likely that's what we'll think ahead of time. But I'll be very surprised if she turns out to be force sensitive. Not sad, but very surprised.
Yeah, I'd like it.
Yeah, I would too. But
after everything you've said, though, would it really surprise you at this point? If you feel like they're pushing it toward that and they're setting it up at that point, wouldn't you be more surprised if she wasn't force sensitive? Does that make sense?
I wouldn't be, for the simple fact that if they're pushing it this much, it makes me feel like it's a
like
twist.
A psych out kind of?
Yeah, it makes me feel like it's a twist.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean it has to be, and I won't be mad one way or the other, but I just feel like with the show being about the Bad Batch, it makes more sense to me. And the fact that she's a clone and a special clone, it makes more sense to me that she would just have the abilities that the Bad Batch has. But like I said, if she is force sensitive, then that'll be fun to see how they deal with that.
Right.
So I don't know.
Well, I hope she at least gets her own little Bad Batch set of armor by the end of the series, or the end of the season, which I think that started this episode when she got Crosshair's comm device.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Get more armor.
Yeah, because Hunter's going to have to stop acting like Ian said, you know, like she's just a kid and that she's not worth anything there. She's proven herself in, I think, just about every episode.
Yeah, she
She's proven herself that she can be a member of the team and actually have something to do. I understand wanting to protect her.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I get that he's trying to protect her, but every time like they get into a situation, she's there to help them. And when she does that, she's by herself at that point. And it's one of those situations to where, like, why don't you just bring her along, make her a part of the plan so you guys can watch her? But at the same time, it's like, do you want to? Because then you have no failsafe if you guys get caught every time.
I just feel like there's a whole lot pointing toward the fact that she is like force sensitive. Like, was she able to communicate with Moochie somehow to know that Moochie wasn't going to attack them? Like, why would she just release that monster without knowing what it was going to do?
But at the same time, we also got to remember she is just a child. She has that innocent mind, that innocent, like the way she thinks.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't know. I'm excited to see where it goes. We've still got quite a bit of Bad Batch left to go. So I'm just happy that I'm enjoying every episode, and I look forward to next week. But with all that down and out of the way, our final topic of the night, we are going to discuss MODOK. I will always say MODOK in that way if I can. I love MODOK in general. The character.
Derek, you're gonna hate me for this, but I need to mention one more thing about this episode of Bad Batch.
Man, I already moved on.
I know.
Your point is invalid, sir. Go ahead.
Wow. It's pretty good stuff, though. It's concerning Sid. I just want to know if you all noticed that she had Jango's blasters on her wall in the office, and also Boba Fett's helmet.
I did not notice that. I'll have to go back and look at it.
Absolutely.
I definitely want to go back and look at it.
Because I didn't get to watch it twice this week like I normally do before the show, so I'll have to go back and check it out. All right. Are you done now? You got it all out of your system?
I'm done. I just wanted to point those couple things out.
All right. Well, I'm glad you did, because that's awesome. That gives me something to go back and look for. But for real, we are going to move on to MODOK now. So we talked about the first episode of MODOK last week and gave ourselves the whole week to watch it. And Wells, you weren't on here, but we had the same consensus that it was okay. It had its moments, and it was kind of weird. And so I wanted to get your take first, since you weren't on here at all to talk about it. What did you think of this series as a whole, just in general?
Well, you know, I want to say that I'm pleasantly surprised at how much I like this series, but I'm not going to lie to you, Derek, because I did not like this series. I don't want a season two.
That's all right. That doesn't surprise me. I have a feeling that a lot of people feel the same way you do.
Yeah, it was like Robot Chicken meets Family Guy mixed in with some Marvel, and I don't know. It's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I get that. It's a weird show, that's for sure. Ian Torrance, what about you, man? What's your overall on the whole series?
Like I was saying when we reviewed episode one, it had that Robot Chicken vibe to it, and Robot Chicken was hit or miss with me. And this show was hit or miss with me on every episode. There were some episodes where, and I don't want to like throw you under the bus on your point that you're about to make soon, but you kind of said, like, you and I were talking like kind of off camera there for a while, a few times, that you thought it was a slow build. And it's like, sometimes I just thought it dragged on. I was like, all right, I have to watch these, so let's get on with this. But then there was sometimes like I'd watch an episode and I'd laugh my ass off and I'd be like, oh, that was actually really funny. But once every three episodes is not a good, you know, ratio. So there were moments that made me laugh, and then there were moments that kind of annoyed me. I thought overall, Lou, his son, very annoying. Didn't like him at all. Didn't care for him.
I agree.
Didn't think he was funny. Was really shocked that when there became two of them. Like, wow, one of them was bad enough, too. Awful. Downright awful. So I thought he was annoying. And then the daughter, hit or miss me. She was all right sometimes, and sometimes she wasn't. Now, this may come as a surprise to you, but I've never raised a teenage daughter. I know. I know. Shocker. But I tried to sympathize with the fact that she was your normal teenage girl. Sometimes it was too much for me. And I think probably any time that Iron Man was on screen, I thought that was funny.
The like two times that he was on there?
Yeah.
He was on there a few times.
Well, I think overall like three or four. The first episode where he's watching the cooking show in his helmet, I thought was funny.
Are you binge watching that in your helmet right now?
Yeah. No, I'm savoring it. No more than three episodes.
No more than three. Yeah, and as Trent likes to quote, which wish he was here for this right now, but "you wet bitch" is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. Did you just call me a wet? Yeah, I thought that was really funny. Him saying her like spelling out her name and saying what it stood for, his daughter Melissa, and he said you were named after Melissa Etheridge and you know this. I thought that was funny.
Yeah,
Gary's kind of stole the show for me a few times too.
Gary was the best.
When they introduced Gary's husband, and Gary's husband kissed him on the outside of the mask, like it was his actual face. What was it, Big Mike? What was his
name?
Big Mike.
I think it was Big Mike. I don't remember. So. Either way, it was great.
Yeah, it was so random.
The locket bit.
The locket.
What's inside your locket?
It's a picture of Monarch's locket. Yeah. So, again, there were moments that made me laugh, and I was like, what the hell am I watching, man? You mentioned Armadillo.
Oh, man.
That was random. Armadillo having a domestic dispute with his ex-wife was funny. But overall, no. The rest of it, no. I hated MODOK from the past coming back, and like there was that whole thing, and
one MODOK was enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then there was two of them, and I'm like, that doesn't make sense, because I've seen Back to the Future, and I know for a fact if you destroy your past self, you're not gonna have a future self. So when they killed him in that episode, I was just like, well, that made no sense.
Yeah, but he was outside of time. He was an anomaly. He even changed his name to the Anomaly.
Yeah, but they don't explain that till later. At the time when it happened, I thought it was confusing. Then later, and then I'm still confused. I'm like, how can that be?
Well, I mean, if you're looking for realism and scientific accuracy.
I know, I'm not going to find it here.
Not here.
This is a man in a floating wheelchair.
With a giant head. So I gotta be the one to buck the system here. I do, you know, we talked before we recorded that, and I talked about it on last week's episode, that the first episode I liked overall after I watched it a second time and I caught some of the gags more and I enjoyed it. Man, that second and third episode, if I did not, yeah, I did.
Wow.
If I did not have a podcast and I knew we were talking about this, if I didn't have that going on, I would not have watched any more of MODOK past the second episode.
I respect that.
I would have dropped it like, I don't even have like a potent analogy for how quick I would have dropped this show. But I'm really glad that I didn't, because unlike you guys, I actually loved the back half of this series. From the moment that he goes into the bar with no name and he meets all the down on their luck C-list villains, and the, you know, Ian mentioned that I said Armadillo. That's something we were talking about earlier. When Armadillo rolled up to him in the bar, I lost my mind. Why in the world? What a random character for him to have. And then what was it? Pound Cakes, Agnar, who's like way out of left field villain, and the Melter. I love the Melter. Everything about him. I actually really liked the humor in the show. I think that it made me laugh a lot more than it didn't. Again, after those first three episodes, it made me laugh a lot more than it didn't. I thought that the heart of the show was surprising. You know, the everything about how it dealt with MODOK wanting to change and get back with his wife. I actually really liked all of that. I can't put my finger on why I loved it so much. But I really did. I really liked the back half of it. And I actually really hope that we get another season of it. It's set up for a second season. That ending, I know that, Ian, you didn't like the old or the young MODOK coming back through time. But the whole conversation where he's having with him at the end, and the fact that they blow up MODOK's family at the end of this show, I couldn't believe it. I was so incredibly surprised.
Well, and we don't know that for certain. It was just kind of implied that that's where it was going to go. But and then at the same time, like the board,
yeah.
And then Austin runs out to warn him, and then Gary hits him with the car. And then you know what happened after that? Nothing.
Nothing at all. Nothing.
I'm glad they got blown up. I wanted the whole relationship between MODOK and his wife to be over. Why is that a thing?
Why not?
They could have explained a little bit, like, why does this woman want to marry this giant head with legs?
See, again, you're wanting rational thought and logic in a show.
How'd they make a baby?
Well, I mean, they showed him.
That's none of your damn business.
They showed him outside of his. MODOK has a body.
Yeah.
He's just got such a big head. He's got to be in that thing. If he's laying in bed with his hover chair on the floor, they showed it. Did you not watch the whole season?
I watched enough of it.
They showed him sitting there almost completely naked, which was really
where he was with his robot family
and his disgusting paintings in the office.
Oh God!
Yeah.
Look, all I gotta say is,
I have some positive stuff to say about it.
This show made me laugh a lot. more than I expected it to. I love Patton Oswalt. I loved Wonder Man. And the fact that they brought Wonder Man in and that he was
Nathan Fillion.
Was he was perfect. He was perfect because Wonder Man doesn't get enough love. And I thought that that whole.
But not even Wonder Man could save this show for me.
All right. Well, let me hear some positives then. Ian, you said you got some positives. Let's hear it.
I liked Super Adaptoid. He was funny, even though he wasn't in there enough.
Yeah, the Super Adaptoid was great.
The other one was Nathan Fillion as Wonder Man, which he kind of already took that. So, I don't know, man. I didn't have a whole lot of positives. It was pretty much just
Third Eye Blind. Was that a positive for you? Third Eye Blind.
Third Eye Blind.
I wish I would have liked it more, but I didn't.
I want to know what Monica's doing with the manatees. What's happening with the manatees? Do you remember the manatees?
Yeah, I just don't know if I want to know what's happening with the manatees.
I love everything about that. the episode where MODOK becomes like the perfect employee and Monica's just losing her mind because she's waiting for him to do something. And her daughter comes into her lab and she's just in a manatee carcass.
Yeah.
Just randomly her arms shoot out of it. And get her.
I wish that in a show about MODOK that we would have focused on AIM a little bit more.
What are you talking about? The AIM agents were like the best part of the show. His minions. I'm not kidding. Gary is the best character in this
Gary
entire
was
show.
Funny.
Gary was funny.
But I don't know. I don't feel like we explored AIM enough for a MODOK series. Like it was more about MODOK and his family, which I guess if that's what they were going for, that's fine. But I wasn't into it.
This I think that's why this show is going to have a hard time with comic book fans, because you know you think of MODOK one way, and it's the mental organism designed only for killing. You don't think about him having a family or anything like that because it's silly. It's a silly premise in general.
Yeah,
and so I understand what you're saying. I think that if you, it's a weird show, and it's easy to be like, yeah, that wasn't for me, because you know you think of MODOK and you think I want the supervillain MODOK, because I would love this. I think. The one negative to this is I think that MODOK is already laughed at as a villain, and people don't realize that he actually could be a very intimidating and scary villain, like a supervillain. I would love to see him in the MCU. I think that he would be great. And so the one negative here is I think that they lean so far into the MODOK as such a joke trope that people are just going to see MODOK as this silly Patton Oswalt, you know, spiel. So I can see that being a negative for MODOK going forward, but I like the character, and I actually am looking forward to another season. So I don't know. I know I'm in the minority because a lot of people, especially a lot of comic book fans, are just not okay with this show. They're so they didn't.
How
care
far
for
have
it.
You gotten to the Avengers game?
I'm almost done. I know that it's MODOK.
See, that version of MODOK is to me is amazing.
That's he's creepy MODOK and. Yeah. Creepy and weird and
innocent.
Powerful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I agree with you. Super Adaptoid was great. And I love the revelation that he betrays them all the time. They just erase his memory so he doesn't remember it. And the reason, what was the reason why he decided that he would have to pay at the end of it there? Oh, gosh. I didn't get a chance to write that down. It made me laugh. You remember, they're at the restaurant. And he says, oh, no, I would never betray you. And then he asks for something, and MODOK tells him no. And it just zooms in on him. It's menacing.
Yes, if he can have something.
Right. I can't remember what it is he wanted to have.
To consume something. I don't remember what it was.
I don't either. Either way, Super Adaptoid was great. All the
Was it a milkshake?
It might have been a milkshake.
Wasn't it a smoothie? I mean,
smoothie. Was it a smoothie?
I'm pretty sure it was a smoothie.
I don't know.
He was like, probably. Oh, can I have one? He said no, and he immediately went back to that murderous.
Does anybody else really want to know what the Melter's grilled cheese food truck was going to be named?
Artisan Grilled Cheese.
Huh?
I said Artisan Grilled Cheese.
Army of the Dead. Yeah, refer back to our Army of the Dead conversation. But yeah, I know I'm in the minority. I was hoping that at least one of you would have enjoyed the show as much as I did, but that's okay. Maybe Trent liked it. Trent and I were the only two that were actually excited about the show. So we'll see.
You know me, I typically love everything, but this just did not hit it for me.
Yeah, no, that's what surprises me, because like I don't think I've ever heard you say you dislike something. This is the first time in a very long time. Like, just like Ian Torrance, I think I've known you for close to 20 years now, and yeah, I don't think I've ever heard you say you disliked it.
And I do consider myself a Patton Oswalt fan, so it's unfortunate.
I like Patton Oswalt as well.
I like seeing Patton Oswalt in this one.
I was just listening to some of his stand up yesterday.
Yeah,
but yeah, like I said, did you catch that there's one at the like the very last episode or the second to last episode where Melissa's showing him an app on the phone where it changes his face, and it's actually Patton Oswalt's face.
No, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I didn't think I catch that either.
It was pretty funny. He said, "Oh God, that's horrifying," or something. That's like horrifying. So yeah, it was funny. So I'm sorry you guys didn't like it as much as I did. I hope everybody listening here enjoyed MODOK. And if you didn't, that's all good. Let us know if you liked it or not. But with that, we are going to get into our followers from this week. We had some new followers. Trent normally does this, but like I said, he's a traitor and decided he needed a day off. But
I know, it must be nice.
But thankfully, he did. He sent me a list of our followers. So we want to thank the following: Wine and Dine Story Podcast, By the Power Podcast. I was asked to say that in a He-Man voice.
You have to.
Comics in Motion. Four Nerds by Nerds. 100 Things We Learned from Film Podcast. Trilogy Podcast. Paul's Scoop on the U. The Twisted Cape, Geeky Waffle Network, Bed Knobs and Broom Flicks, I like that one, Printo Comics, The Aged Narrative, ROTR, a rock and roll podcast, The VHS Strikes Back, Nerd in Texas, Popcorn and Pints, Halloween is Forever, Reagan Promotions, The SP10 Pod, Lost for Words, Star Wars Fan Club, Rosario, Podcastics, and the Binge Boys. Thank you very much. I apologize if I messed up anybody's name. I'm not as good at this as Trent, but we really appreciate you for following us. If you're not following us on social media, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The links for those will be in the description of this show. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, let us know in our email. Shoot us an email at paperweightent@yahoo.com. If you enjoy this, please share it with your friends and your family. Give us a rating and review. Anytime that you rate and review this podcast, it bumps us up in the searches when you look for the things that we talk about. So that is always greatly appreciated. So with that, we're going to call it a night. And for Ian and Ian, I have been Derek, and this has been the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast. See you next time.
Yay!